Good afternoon, church. I feel very much excited to stand before you. And I'm not going to keep you long in here. The subject of our discussion this afternoon is take away the veil. Take away the veil. This heading is taken from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 17. If anybody can read from the congregation, 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 17. Then our second reading is going to come from John chapter 5. And I'm going to ask Tabani to read John chapter 5, verse 1 to 6.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole?
May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity that we serve you. May you fill us with your goodness, and may we be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we understand your word and be ready for your second coming. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. The story that we read from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. There was a young man. The young man had eyes and he could see. This was the servant of Elisha, the prophet. And this young man could see. The Bible doesn't say he was blind. But spiritually he was blind. The young man also thought that he could see. Until when Elisha prayed that, oh Lord, open his eyes. When his eyes were opened, then the young man saw what he was not seeing all along. He was not blind, but he was not seeing. That there were angels upon angels that were surrounding them, he did not see. So his spiritual eyes were closed, he did not see. It's so common in life that at times you can meet an important person and do not know that this person is so important or is a celebrity. It happened when I came into this country. I was working at Wendy, and I didn't know this guy called Peyton Manning. I did not know him. So he ordered some food, and people who heard him, including the manager, they knew who he was. And I was at the window, and he came. I did not know him, and I thought, I mean, he was just one of the ordinary customers, and I saved him. But what surprised me was the manager and some other people that were there. They all came crashing to the window holding papers. They wanted him to sign. And then I'm like, who is this guy? Then they said, do you know Manning? Then I'm like, I don't know. Who is he? Well, he's a football player, and I didn't know much about football, and I didn't worry much. I mean, I didn't care much about it. So he passed by. So every morning, three times a week, he would pass through. I ended up knowing who he was and what he wanted to order. Each time I hear his voice, I know what he wanted. So I would just get it ready, you know. And he was an important man. I only started to realize when I started to get interested in football. I could have got his autograph, but I do not have it. He was an important man. But my eyes saw him, but I did not recognize him. Now let's come to our second text. Now Jesus came to Jerusalem. And this was a Sabbath. When he came to Jerusalem on this particular day, the Bible did not mention that he went to the temple, but it said he went to a place where there were some sick people. And this place was called Bethesda. This place in Hebrew, it meant the house of mercy. When I looked on the internet, it was built behind the temple. So like the temple is here, then Jesus went at the backyard of the temple. There were five porches that were there. And my Bible says there were a multitude of people that were there who were not in the temple. This was on a Sabbath. And the Bible says also that the Jews were celebrating. In other words, this particular week, people were having barbecue. They were eating cakes. They were eating all sorts of food, and they were happy. But at the backside of the temple, at the backyard of the temple, there was a multitude of people who could not even go into the temple because they were sick. And the Bible goes on to mention what kind of people were there. It says there were sick people that were there. They were blind, they were paralyzed, and they were lame and impotent. So, Jesus was preaching the gospel many times, but on this particular Sabbath, on his itinerary, he was supposed to go and visit this place at the backyard of the temple. So let's say he has come at Chapel West Church. Now he decided not to come to chapel, to come into the temple inside here. He decides to go at the back where there are the sick people who are there who will not set their feet into the temple because they were paralyzed. They were not able to do that. And they were there for quite a while. And the Bible says there was a man there who was there for 38 years. If somebody can tell me, how old was Jesus when he was baptized? Can I hear it from the... Yes? How old was he? 30. Now, if Jesus was 33 years old when he was baptized, it means this man was there before Jesus left heaven to come on earth. He was waiting for his healing for 38 years. So if Jesus was 33 years old when he was baptized, meaning that this man was there when Jesus was born. He was waiting for the day he was going to be delivered. And maybe if Angel Gabriel is the one who was making an assignment for where Jesus was going to visit in heaven before the incarnation, it means he made that assignment and say, hey, there is that man who is there, he's waiting for his healing. Jesus was born, the man was waiting. When Jesus was born, the man was waiting at the pool. When Jesus was at the temple, discussing with the elders at the temple, the man was waiting at the pool. When Jesus was at the Cana of Galilee, performing his first miracle, the man was waiting at the pool. When Jesus was doing all these other miracles, the man was there waiting. And even before incarnation, the man was waiting. Before heavens came down, the man was waiting there for his healing. He was there. That's a long time. You know, and when you are sick for 38 years, it's quite some time. And people forget about you. You can tell people that you are sick today and then they will give you a phone call. All right, hey, I hope you are feeling okay. And then after a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, after a year, all the phone calls are gone. Nobody remembers about you. And the Bible says the Jews were celebrating. Some other people were in the backyard. They were nursing their wounds. But others were eating barbecue. These are people who believed in God. These are the people who used to come and visit the temple. But they were celebrating. At the back of the temple, there were quite a number of people that were there. Let's just say Jesus came to Chapel West Church. What kind of people did Jesus find in the backyard of the temple? They were the blind that were there. They have been there waiting for Jesus, waiting for healing. They were waiting for the waters to be stirred so that the healing can take place. These people, just like some members at Chapel West Church, they were blind. Some of the people that were there. Now, blind people do not see. And they hold on to those that see. Am I right? Amen. So now, the people that were there, so there are some people that are blind in church, here at Chapel West Church. And they are always holding, maybe to the pastor. And they are asking, what time is it? Then pastor tells them what time it is. They are asking, where are we now? The pastor tells them, we are by the bridge. They don't open their eyes to see. They are blind. Jesus came to heal these ones that were there. At times we got spiritual blindness. That at times we just listen to people that are preaching and do not search the scriptures on our own. That spiritual blindness that Jesus came to heal. So at times we need healing. So that we do not just to listen to any preacher who is just preaching. Search the scriptures so that your eyes will be opened, so that you will be able to see. Because there were people that were there, they were blind. But the unfortunate thing, when Jesus came to that backyard, they were not healed. And then there was another group. There were some people that were paralyzed that were there. And one of those people that was paralyzed is this man. They were not able to move. Maybe, can you show the small video of how it was? Yeah, it's going to take about 3 minutes.
Jesus went to Jerusalem for a religious festival. Near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool with. After this, Jesus went to Jerusalem for a religious festival. Near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool with five porches. In Hebrew, it is called Bethesda. A large crowd of sick people were lying on the porches. The blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. A man was there who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that the man had been sick for such a long time.
Do you want to get well?
Sir, I don't have anyone here to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else gets there first.
Get up. Pick up your mat and walk.
Immediately, the man got well. He picked up his mat and started walking.
You can end it there. Thank you. There were some people that were paralyzed at that pool. When the waters were moved, the paralyzed at times could not get in. This man was saying, when he was asked by Jesus, "Do you want to get well?" He said, "Sir, I got nobody who can push me in," because he was paralyzed. Maybe at Chapel West Church, we have got people that are spiritually paralyzed. There's a term that is called wheelbarrow Christianity. There are some people that are like a wheelbarrow. You got to pick it up, then you move it. And then when you leave it there, the wheelbarrow is not going to move. Some people, they wait for one. When one pastor comes, we'll move them to this level of faith. Where they are left, they are not going to move from there. It's called wheelbarrow Christianity. I don't know where you are. I don't know where I am. I'm trying to look where I fit in. We are supposed to have faith. The faith that moves mountains. Not just to wait for leadership to move us. So we should not have wheelbarrow Christianity. If we are like that, we are not going anywhere. Jesus came to save. Amen. Even those that were paralyzed. Amen. They were there by the pool of Bethesda. But they were not healed except only one man. And then there was also another group, that's the third group. This group was a group of people that were said to be important. These are people that were not able to produce, or that were not able to reproduce. Physically, they were looking okay. But there was no production, they had no fruits. They were there. Probably these are the people that when the waters were moved, they would jump in first. But they could not produce. Maybe if Jesus had come to Chapel West Church, was going to find some members who were spiritually important, meaning that they've been in the church for a long time, but they've not brought any souls in the church. You need to ask yourself, where do you fit in? If you worked in the field of the Lord so that you are bringing souls in the church, if you are not bringing any souls in the church of God, then you are important. You need some healing to take place. Because we are not supposed just to come here and warm the seats. We are supposed to come here and do the work. Amen. We are not supposed to come here and just be led and not do anything. But we are supposed to come here and do the work. And then there was another group of people that were there. They were said they were disabled. Okay. Or they were lame. Right. This group of people, they can function, but they do not function 100%. So there are some people who are in the church today who do not function 100%. But Jesus wants us to function 100%. We are not supposed to be disabled. At one time we were able, but now we are disabled because we are not functioning 100%. And then there were some people that were with that. Now, these are people who are weak. Yeah. And they don't feel okay. They are weak even to give. Their hands are with that. When it comes to giving, they've got a problem. And then there are some people that are said to have been sick with many diseases. Now, when you look in spiritually, these are people who are generally sick. Every part of their body is an illness. They are not okay. When it comes to giving, they complain about giving. When it comes to say teaching, they complain about teaching. They don't want to teach, they don't want to give. When somebody sings, they say, well, he's not singing well. When somebody teaches, no, he's not teaching well. So what are you doing? Are you there just to... Every part of your body is not okay. Jesus is there to heal you. But the thing that is very surprising in this text is this. Now, Jesus has got an itinerary that is going to go at the backyard of the church so that people at the church there will be healed. He walks. As he's walking, the blind are feeling that there is somebody who is there, who is walking. They are giving way. The paralyzed are being moved on the sides. And then Jesus walks and then gets to this man who has been there for 38 years. And then he heals the man who has been there for 38 years. But everybody else who is there is not healed. This is where the blindness is. The healer is there. The sick people are there. The power to heal is there. But people are not healed. And healing takes place to this man. The important were seeing him being healed. The blind heard that the man was healed. The weak heard that the man was, they saw him being healed. But they did not seize the opportunity to get healed. Some of them did not even realize that Jesus was there. Spiritually, they were blind. They did not see. And even the man who was healed there, he did not know Jesus until when they met in the temple. It may be that at times we are spiritually blind, that the very things that we are looking for, they are there, but we are not seeing it, just like that young man. It's like the children of Israel. You know, God promised them that, hey, when you go to the land, that way you are going to step your feet on is going to be yours. And he promised them to get the land of milk and honey. But when they get to the land of Canaan, I don't know whether they were looking for rivers that were flowing with honey and milk. When you look into the map of the Middle East today, the children of Ishmael, they came and took oil from the children of Israel. The children of Israel, when they were walking, they were standing on top of oil. But they were looking for something else. The blessing that God had given them, it was under their feet, but they did not see it. May it be that at times you are complaining to God, yet the blessings that God has given you, they are under your feet and they are not seeing it. Spiritually, you are blind. The work that you are supposed to do, you are not doing it. You are complaining, I'm poor. Oh, really, you are poor. When you are driving a car, I don't have time. When you've got time to listen to football and to listen to politics and do many other things, but to have time to do the work of God is not there. We need to know who we are. Do you know who you are? No, do you know who you are? The Son of Man came from heaven. You know, he left all the things that were in heaven. He passed through all these galaxies that are there, the Milky Way galaxy, and then came into our solar system, came to a planet called Earth, just to come for you. You are so special in the eyes of God. Do you know? And do you know that you belong to the royal priesthood? Do you know that you are a son of the king? Do you know that you've got royal blood that's flowing in your veins? You know, people that have got royalty, you know, they don't just do things anyhow. People like Prince Charles, they didn't just date anyhow. They don't just live anyhow. You are part of the royal blood. You are a special person whom Jesus came to die for. Leaving all the other planets, leaving the heavenly realm to come and save you, to come and die for me. And then you look yourself and then you look, I'm blind, I can't see. Oh, really? Do you know that you've got a real blood that is flowing in you? Young kids or young people, you take alcohol, you're drinking, you know, you get some other people. This cigarette. Hey, you are royalty. You belong to the kingdom. Let these that do not belong to the kingdom drink and eat to their death. You don't just eat anyhow. You are a son of a king. And Jesus is your brother. And God is your father. And the Holy Spirit is your protector. What are you doing useless things? You are special in the eyes of God. You are royal. There's royal blood that is flowing within you. May you please take away the veil and be who you are. You are a citizen of heaven. You don't belong here. You are just passing by. You are transitory. You are just passing by. So when you are passing by, you know what? You do not get... I mean, it's like you are driving, you are going to Chicago. You do not get to Kokomo and then you say, now I've reached Kokomo, that's where I'm going to stay. No, you are going to Chicago. You are on your way. So let these people that stay in Kokomo, let them stay in Kokomo. You are on your way to Chicago. So when you are on your way to Chicago, be like a man who is on a journey. You are not here to play around. Let these people their destination is this earth. So let them discuss about these earthly things. You are royalty, and your kingdom is soon going to come. So you need to know who you are. Take away the veil, and know that the master of the universe is within you. You are a sister of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Young people, don't waste a lot of time doing useless things and get people who let us have a one-night stand. Really, you are royal blood. You don't just go and sleep in any bed. You do not just go and let those who want to eat cocaine, smoke cocaine and sniff cocaine. Let them do it because they belong to this earth. You don't belong to this earth. You belong to the kingdom from above.
Amen.
So you need to walk with dignity. And you need to feel that you are there. You know, there are some people who make you feel you don't belong. I remember this other time. I'm at home. I was new in Kembe. And this is around 3 a.m. Somebody calls and he says, "Hey, your dog is in my backyard." Then I said, "I don't have a dog." Then he said, "Well, you don't belong here. You speak with an ass and you need to go back where you came from." And then my wife was very much scared. And maybe she thought we should sell the house and move out of Kembe. That was about 10 years ago. We got these 3 phone calls. And I called the police, they came, and then we were on the watch for about 2-3 months. They were checking on our house. Somebody thought that I don't belong. But this is my father's country. I belong.
Amen.
This is, I am a citizen of this country, a citizen of this world, and I can live wherever I can live. Because my father, God, is the owner of this world. So I will not let anybody think that I don't belong. So do not let anybody make you think that you don't belong or give you something that you are not supposed to eat and think that then you can eat and then you do not belong. No, you are a citizen of the world to come and this world too. And this is the world of your father. And your father is God. And this world belongs to you. And nobody should look down upon you because they think that they can look down upon you. No. It's not about education. It's not about the race. This world belongs to my father. I can go and live in Zimbabwe because it's the world of my father. I can go and live in England because it's the world of my father. My father is God. And I belong to the kingdom. I'm a citizen of heaven, not a citizen of this country. I'm just passing by. And therefore, I got royal blood that flows within me.
Amen.
The DNA of God is within me. And that's the reason why you do not want to think about death. Because God's DNA, God does not die. And this DNA is within you. You belong to the kingdom. So when God is there, you need to seize the opportunity. And God is here. You are a son and a daughter of the king. Don't let anybody say you are blind, you don't see. No, I belong to the kingdom. Even if my body may give up right now, but the kingdom is coming. Even if Ebola can go and wipe anybody, or even if I'm going to die, I know that I'm going to resurrect. So I will not let illness pull me down. I will not let anybody pull me down. I belong to the kingdom. And my message today is that let the good Lord open your eyes and let yourself see, you need to see yourself as the son and the daughter of a king. And our kingdom is coming. These things of this earth, they are going to come. Very soon, they are going to pass by. In closing, there was a lady in Zimbabwe. His husband, her husband went up a mountain, then they picked up a big rock like this. And they didn't have a padlock to lock the door. So they used that piece of rock to close the door. And that woman's husband died. She stayed with that rock closing the door every time, every night. And what happened was diamonds were discovered in Zimbabwe. So that's about, 3 years ago? Some 3 years ago, they discovered diamonds. And it's one of the largest, it's the largest diamond field in the world now. When they discovered those diamonds, then a certain group of people came, they descended in the area of called Manicaland. So they came to this lady's home. This lady was very poor. No kettle. At times she would go hungry. She would eat nothing. But when these guys, when they came in, When they looked at the piece of rock that was closing a door, it was diamonds. For 10 years, she was going hungry, but she was using diamonds to close a door. She did not know that she had diamonds. She was poor, yet diamonds were there. This is a true story. Diamonds were there, and she did not know. At times, you may think you are poor. Hey, you've got the King of Kings in your house. God is doing a room service. And you've got the word that is here. The most important word in this world. There's power to be healed. There's power to get rich. There's power to go to school. And yet we are just sitting like even when we are singing like we are dying, you know, like we are at a funeral. Hey, you are before the King of Kings. You belong to the kingdom. Open your eyes and see. Amen. Be excited about this kingdom. Don't feel like we are not at a funeral. Come on, we are serving the King of Kings. More important than Barack Obama, more important than the Queen of England. Amen. Hey, we are a royal priesthood. Do you understand? This world is our world. It's ours. Don't let other people tell you that it doesn't be. It's ours. So when you are serving the King of Kings, please, be excited. Feel great that you are serving a wonderful God, a Savior, who has seen importance in you, who left all heaven to come and die for you. And soon, you will be coming. And some people, they are so scared even about Ebola, about what ISIS is doing in Iraq and Syria. No, these things are just passing by. We've got a kingdom that is coming. My brother, my big brother is coming. So I'm happy the big brother is coming. Whether ISIS or no ISIS, whether we lose the war in Iraq, whether Ebola comes here or not, whether I die or live, my big brother is coming. All these things are going to be over. So soon and very soon, the kingdom is going to be ours, and we are going to go to heaven, and all these things will be over. All these things will be over. There will be no more death, no more dying. And I'm ready for that day when all things will be anew. But while I'm here, I'm going to enjoy and I'm going to sing with and make a lot of noise about this kingdom. For my God is the owner of this universe. So I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to preach with power. I'm going to be excited. And I'm going to sing. It doesn't matter who says what. But the kingdom belongs to my Father. And there's royal blood that is flowing within me. So if it is in me, you cannot take it away. You cannot. The kingdom is ours. May God bless you all.